Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Watcher Crappens ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Hey, y'all, it's your girl, Keke Palmer, and let me tell you, we're kicking off this new year with a whole new mindset. If you're ready for that new year, new mindset energy, you've got to tune in to Baby, This is Keke Palmer. If you're looking for more podcasts to help you tend to your well-being, check out New Year, New Mindset on the Wondery app.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today, Mr. Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Hello. I'm here live in New York City.
Oh, beautiful. I will be joining you there shortly enough, but right now I am in Westchester, New York, in my childhood bedroom, and it's winter, so the bonnet is on the air conditioner.
I love an air conditioner bonnet.
I know. We are both in New York because the Golden Crappies are on Saturday, and so I'm here visiting my parents up in Westchester before I relocate down to the city. We are so excited. First of all, thank you so much to everyone who came out to San Francisco and to San Diego this past weekend to celebrate our birthday and also the kickoff of our Mounting Hysteria tour. It was really so fun to be back out on stage and to see familiar faces and new faces. Everyone was so sweet and so kind. So a big heartfelt thanks for coming out to our shows. And then, Saturday, it's going to be crazy. I think we're almost sold out at that theater. I think there's 40 tickets left. It's amazing. We're going to have a wonderful lineup. So excited for the Golden Crappies. You can still vote. The ballot is at watchercrappens.com. Some of those races are separated by 40 votes. So every vote matters. And on top of that, if you can't make it to the ceremony, you can stream it anywhere you are in the world because we've partnered with Kizwe. So the link to get a streaming ticket is also on our website. It's going to be really an amazing time. We're in the final stretch here, trying to finish up all these odds and ends. And
I ain't finishing shit. I'm starting shit. Okay, I'm starting. I'm just starting a lot of this stuff. But okay. It's going to come together by then.
And of course, I can already see on my screen that I'm falling out of sync. I can already see that. I'm seeing myself talking and I'm seeing my lips flapping from a totally different part. So my camera's already out of sync. So apologies to those watching with Crappens on Demand if I'm a little out of sync today, but childhood bedroom issues. What can you do?
Yeah. So just go with the general face, there's Ben's general face. Okay.
<We're drawing laughs> Look at Ronnie. Okay. Don't look at me. My lips are going to confuse everyone.
My gorgeousness is going to confuse everyone. Don't stare at me too long. You'll turn into salt. Okay, so here we go. Let's get into some Real Housewives of Potomac.
Yes. Okay.
This is almost the season. How is this not the season finale? Honestly, it's episode 16. End it. Cut the cord. Nothing has happened. Make it stop.
You know what? The problem was they spent too long in Panama. Panama was not a good vacation. It really killed the momentum of the season. I did actually, I feel like the show kind of got its bearings again this episode. At first it didn't, but I thought that entire scene later on that we're obviously about to get into about about Kara not going to Stacey's thing and Giselle just giving Stacey so much shit was hilarious. I was like, okay, signs of life. The show is coming back for the finale.
Well, Giselle's just it's the finale. We've done nothing. I'm just going to start fights over nothing. She's like, I've done this for long enough that it's my ninth year. I'm just going to start fights with the nicest person on the cast just because. You didn't want me to be a villain? Fine. The show tanked. So I'll be a villain now. It's like her last inning attempt. And I appreciated it. I was laughing just to watch Stacey get so exacerbated. She's like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah, I love Stacey. I think Stacey is such a great addition. And I feel like just in general, are people on Bravo talking enough about Stacey? Because she just really entertains me with how exasperated she gets. She's like, well, I'm shocked. I will stand by this assertion, but I can't believe this. Watching her get huffy is just a real joy for me.
Yeah, she exasperated is what I meant. Not, I mean, what you said, not exacerbated. I don't know why I said that. But yeah, I think that too. I think it's hard for people to appreciate her as much as she deserves, only because she's on kind of a season that's not great. So she's great, but yeah, she's on a season that's not great. So she's not getting her proper flowers, you know?
Yeah. But you know what? I hope that Bravo sticks with her because she's awesome.
Oh, they will. So yeah, they're not going to get rid of that chick.
Yeah. So let's dive in. So it's episode 16. I am shocked, as you are. 16 episodes. This should have been 13 episodes plus, you know, reunions. The truth will set you off. So we're at this Drag King show that Ashley's been doing. And Karen and Mia are in the middle of a fight because Karen just heard through the grapevine, through Ray, that Mia's had the paternity tests for Jeremiah for a while now, and she just didn't even bother to tell all the women. The women are still like thinking, oh my goodness, this could be a whole unsettled thing. And so Karen's mad about it.
Yes, we're in paternity test fights today. That's where we're at.
Yeah.
So Karen's like, well, this is cheese, baby. That's what he said. It was very, very clear. And Mia's like, Gordon may have known sooner, but I only found out a week ago because the tests were going through many, many layers of Gordon mania. It was very, very difficult to read them.
Well, I'm not sure you're doing any of the things that you're saying anymore. I'm like, Karen, it took you this long to figure that out? How many... We've been on to this from episode 3 of Mia's first season. Why did it take you this many years?
Right? How long have you guys known Mia, for Christ's sake? And she's like, well, I don't have to prove myself to you. And she's like, well, let me finish it. I'm not finished. And Stacey's like, this is an ambush for Karen to hijack Ashley's event to attack Mia. It was just inappropriate. It felt mean-spirited. It's just not right. That's not what friends do.
This is not a vindictive moment. It's the right thing to do, and I'm going to do it. Stop exploiting our emotions. It's not okay, period.
You knew in Panama, and you were painting him like a nut.
I like that. You were painting him like a nut.
I don't like to paint things, and I'm especially not going to paint nuts.
So, of course, Mia goes to the lowest hanging fruit, which is,
you're a drunk driver. Why would you talk to me? You have every dick in town. You've got every man in town deciding to open his dick up to you.
I've never heard that phrase, men opening their dick up to you. What the hell does that mean?
I think she just conflated like slut shaming, you know, the standard, you know, oh, you open your legs to every man. And she just like, she sort of attached it to men instead by accident.
Yeah. So Kierna is like, oh my God, this is just too much, Mia. You know, we shouldn't be discussing this. So they all start going back inside because, you know, it's a very classy event. They're at a Drag King event. So they're like, don't discuss it at the Drag King event. It's very classy. Can I just take a moment? Like, I try not to feel sorry for people because really, what does it do? I mean, it doesn't really. I mean, if people need some help, help them, you know, or give some empathy if they need it. But general feeling sorry for people, it doesn't help anybody, you know. Mm-hmm. So I try not to do that because I find it condescending. I find it to be condescending to do that. But can I just say, I do feel so bad for drag kings. They really get the short end of the stick. No pun intended. I mean, these guys, they have a show. They can't even have a drag king show. Have you ever been to a drag queen show when there's drag kings brought on? I haven't. So can the drag kings just have their own show? Why do they have to have drag queens hosting it? Have a drag king show if you're going to do a drag king thing, you know? I mean, inclusivity is great, but we don't give you the, you know, I'm a drag queen. Drag queens don't give you the same, you know, they don't let you in their shows. I mean, maybe they do in some. I'm not saying it never happens. But in general, they don't even get their own shows. Come on, man. Let's be kinder to drag kings.
I was surprised that King Molasses was not hosting this thing. I thought this was King Molasses's show. And instead, we just sort of saw a lot of King Molasses sort of doing this kind of like dance. It kept on cutting to the King Molasses. And his arms were just sort of like flailing left and right, up and down, like he was like seaweed. I thought King Molasses was running the show. So it was surprising to see that it was Crystal Edge who was doing it. And, you know, doing standard drag queen patter, like, wow, my taint hurts.
Wow. You're never going to be a drag queen.
She said something like, oh, my taint. Oh, my wig is itching and my taint hurts. And I was like, okay, great.
So, yeah, we start getting, Ashley's getting ready, you know, and she's like, now I have a package, you know, so I'm more prepared. What's my dick like? And Molasses like, wow, I'm getting a little shy, Ashley. So, you know, coaching Ashley, just have fun, Ashley, just have fun. And so she's like, it's my first drag show. So meanwhile, Stacey's telling Mia, don't leave. Don't leave the drag show. It's the classiest event in town. Mia's like, well, I'm not going to be around anybody who's going to question my life and is not going to support me. Fuck that. Mia, stop doing questionable things. I mean, Jesus Christ, you fucking liar. Mia's such a compulsive liar. And then when she gets called out, this is how she acts. Boo.
She's also the queen of questioning people's lives and not supporting them. That's like what she does every episode. So Stacey's like, well, I don't know why Karen is choosing to say this tonight. I think it would be better if you clarify. Everybody here is thinking you're a liar.
Like, well, I don't need to clarify anything when it comes to my children.
Like, you literally need to clarify so many things. You're literally getting tests to clarify things.
She's like, but do you have to prove that Bella's father is your father? Do we
no,
have to clarify?
Because she didn't come on TV. She didn't come on TV claiming that the guy is not the father. That's why you have to clarify. You were the one who did this. Nobody else did this, you weirdo.
Yeah. Karen's like,
one thing is, I'm a quick sight of the room, and Stacey's not supporting me. She's not saying, stop that. Don't say that to Karen. No, because she's gravitating towards Mia, which I am not, and I am not a jealous woman. I just like to know what Mia has on Stacey. It's almost like Mia is to Stacey as traffic medians are to me.
I love when
gravitate right towards them.
I love when Mia said, do we have to clarify that Raven is actually fucking race? Because that shit is actually questionable. It is not. Raven has Ray face. Everybody knows it. Ray could do some gray stippling on her face and passes Ray. Okay. She's literally Ray. She's tiny peanut version of Ray. You want to talk about painting a peanut, stipple Raven and watch her walk around as Ray. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So Mia's
like, Karen didn't come to me and she wasn't like, oh my God, like Ray met with G the other day. And Wendy is like, well, Stacey, what side are you standing on? Because I'm confused right now.
Well, when you talk about someone's children, you bring it to their mother. You don't bring it out in front of everybody at a drag king show. And so Stacey's like, I'm sorry, Karen, I stand by it. And then Wendy is here to announce everybody, Jassy's here. And so Jassy's like, hi. And then they cut her out of the rest of the episode.
And just I was like, all right, duh, as long as we're introducing people who won't say much. Here's Kate Chastain. Nah. And like, oh, there's Kate out of nowhere.
Did not expect that.
Did not expect that either. It was a Bravo chat room callback because Giselle's like, we did a show together a few years ago.
Oh, I know Kate. I know Kate. One time she told me, you've got time to drink. You've got time to clean the sink. So
Kate's like, I'm so excited for this show. Yeah.
I've never been more excited to be anywhere in my life.
Well, this is exciting. I can't believe I left Florida to come see a non-drag king show.
So Crystal Edge, the drag queen. You know, she's like, I'm four tequila shots deep and I have duct tape residue on my taint. There's the taint part for you.
There it is. Yeah, I knew there was a taint. And this wig hurts. Everyone's like, ha, 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 ha. So, Crystal Edge is, are we motherfucking ready for Ashley's drag debut? Let's give it up for Ash Top. So,
I don't get that.
Is that like Ash Top?
Is it like suggesting that men are less creative with names? Therefore, drag kings just have to have stupid names. It's like, hi. I'm Ronnie Dick. I'm Ronnie Penis.
Ash, maybe it's an acronym like temporarily of Potomac. I don't know.
So they're all talking about how sexy Ashley is, Ash Top. And Karen's like, I'm turned on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're basically just like, she's so hot. What's that?
I think it was Ash T.O.P. I think it was a play on, I think it was trying to, instead of Ashley, it was Ash T.O.P. Mm-hmm. If I remember correctly now that we say it. So you see, it's like, it's wordplay. I'm not Ashley, I'm Ash T.O.P. So we're all informed now.
When things confuse me, I just kind of like black them out. And I think that's what happened, because a lot was happening. Yeah. There was the drag king performance, which was confusing. And then there was Ashley like taking off her top during the performance. Because then I started thinking, well, I mean, I guess you guys do your own thing, but like drag queens, what if a drag queen pulled out their dick? I mean, that would just ruin the whole thing. I don't think you're supposed to do that. So then that confused me. And then the third thing that really confuses me, and we all know it confuses me, boobs. I mean, it took a long time to talk when I was a child, and I think it's because they kept putting boobs in my face. And I think it just kept confusing me.
Yeah. So she does this whole thing. It's fun. And, you know, Ash is sort of doing like kind of like a lap dance on Karen. And it just is going on. It's fun. It's like a fun little party. They're all going woo, and they're partying, and everyone's cheering, and it's exciting. And then afterwards, you know, Josh is there. That's Ashley's guy that she's been dating,
Beavis.
And what?
Beavis. Yes.
And then he's like, "Yeah, that's pretty cool." And she's like, "Yeah, Josh got some major points tonight." She's like, "Feel my dick."
So then now it's time to gossip again. So Ashley comes over and Wendy's like, so basically Gordon told Ray that everything Mia has been telling us is all lies. And Jacqueline's like, well, guys, let me tell you, as someone who is Mia's best friend of all time, Gordon lies a lot too. So let's just not leave it on Mia. What the hell kind of defense is that? You're supposed to say Mia's not lying, Jacqueline, not other people also lie. You're not helping, Jacqueline.
She's off the clock. Mia's not there anymore, so she doesn't have to be like sidekick. She's like, oh, good. I can go back to talking shit about her.
She does do that thing where she's like, I'm your best friend when Mia's around. And if she's not called Mia's best friend, she has a fit. But then the second Mia leaves, she always betrays her.
Always.
Standard. I like it.
So Ashley's like, she's like, wait, what? This is crazy. Wait, so G's not crazy? He's not having episodes every 5 seconds? What's going on?
Well, two things can be true, right, Ben?
I think they're both liars, honestly. Yeah, I think they're both
liars.
Gordon
could still be a nutcase. I mean, we shouldn't call it a nutcase because they're talking about like serious, like actual diagnosed things. So I don't mean that. The show is the one that said nuts. But yeah, I mean, he can still have episodes and she can also be a liar, you know?
Yes. And they both can be liars and he can have episodes. All of the above can be true. Because as far as I can tell, they both seem totally... dastardly and disaster together.
I think you got brainwashed with Bronwyn's. That was dastardly. So now you're bringing it into you're stopping yourself from bringing it into normal conversation. You're like, I'm not gonna say dastardly. I'm not gonna do it, but you tried to.
I'm gonna soft launch that word. I think that Gordon and Mia are disasterly as parents.
Yeah.
So that's indisputable.
And Karen's like, and she needs therapy. All right. Well, you know, when you're done, you know, with your phone call with the pot, give me a call.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Hey, y'all, it's your girl, Keke Palmer, and let me tell you, we're kicking off this new year with a whole new mindset. You know how everyone's all about new year, new me? Well, on Baby, This is Keke Palmer, we're taking it to a whole other level. We're talking new year, new perspectives. And honey, it's gonna change your life. I sat down with astrology queen, Chani Nicholas. Y'all, if you want to understand yourself better this year, this episode is it. And then there's my chat with the incredible Da Vinci, where nothing was off the table. If you're looking to level up your mindset this year, his words are definitely going to hit different. If you're ready for that new year, new mindset energy, you've got to tune in to Baby, This is Keke Palmer. Catch it on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. And for the full experience, head to my YouTube channel. If you're looking for more podcasts to help you tend to your well-being, check out New Year, New Mindset on the Wondery app. Let's make this year our best one yet, baby.
UFO lands in Suffolk, and that's official, said the News of the World. But what really happened across two nights in December 1980, when US servicemen saw mysterious lights in the forest near RAF Woodbridge and claimed to have had a close encounter with an actual craft?
Encounters, a new podcast available exclusively on Wondery Plus, takes a deep dive into one of the most famous and still unresolved UFO encounters to ever take place in the UK, featuring shocking testimony from first-hand witnesses, hosts, journalist, podcaster and UFO researcher Andy McGrillan, that's me, and producer Elle Scott, take us back to the nights in question and examine all of the evidence and conflicting theories about what was encountered in the middle of a snowy Suffolk forest 40 years ago.
Are we alone? Encounters is a podcast which is going to find out. Listen to Encounters exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or in Apple Podcasts.
So now let's go to lunchtime with Giselle, Ashley, Karen, and Kay. And they're at a place called The Saga.
That's an interesting name for a restaurant. I don't think you want to come back from a restaurant and be like, that was a saga. I think saga is not a good word for that. So Karen's like, well, that was a late night for me, that drag king show. It was a lot. Mia was defaming my character the whole time, but I expect no less, because not only does she lie with the truth about her life and mix up all these fables and stories, you know, in Panama, that, you know, she said that your baby belonged to G and you didn't tell us. You don't think that's important? You don't think that's important?
Well, why was it so important in Panama? I mean, how did it affect your trip?
Like, I barely was able to eat my banana pancake in Panama, thinking that that baby could have been someone else's baby. How could I even have lunch?
Yeah, it makes me wonder if she had to sit and shoot a scene with Mia where Mia, like, cried to her and she had to pretend to be sympathetic. So Ashley's like, well, especially because you roped us in and told us in the beginning, you made us part of it. And Giselle's like, you know what? In meeting Mia in the beginning, I was totally bamboozled from her story. I am now eyes wide open. I'm like, again, you guys have called her to her face this season multiple times, a known liar. Why are you shocked?
Yeah. So then Kieran is like, ladies, I really wanted to take this moment to talk to you. I was like, oh, Jesus Christ, not about your stupid, boring ass, plain ass boyfriend. So here we go. And sure enough, what else does she talk about? I couldn't be friends with this person. Like, I think she's like beautiful. I think she dresses fabulously. But you know what? It's episode 16 of her second season. She's officially dead. Yeah. Goodbye.
It's done. I mean, look, she debuted a new look this episode that was like absolutely stunning in the confessional. I was like, damn, Kierna, she is like drop dead gorgeous. But, you know, like if you really think about it, her whole storyline is how, like, the reason why she's on this show is because she has a storyline about being on the show. And last year was diarrhea. So I don't know.
Last year was diarrhea so and almost getting her head bonked with a champagne bottle and then getting a scar from a wine glass. Okay, so that's good enough. So I can see why they'd give her another chance. But if you're gonna get someone in a physical fight a chance, they have to have the other person that they fought with to have a storyline. Because otherwise it's like, oh, you got hit, you know, which they can't say either because she's mad about her scar. And now she's just talking about Greg not wanting her to be on the show. Now, I know that people are gonna jump on me for this, but isn't that his right to not want to be on the show? I feel like if I had a partner and they were like, I want to be on a reality, which first of all, that's crazy to even think of me with a partner. But if I did and they were like, I want to be on a reality show. And I said, I don't want to be on a reality show. I think that would be my right to not want to be on a reality show. I mean, these people tear you apart. We are the people. We are some of the people who tear you apart.
I don't know. I think, so how do you feel about with Todd and Bronwyn then?
He's not. He walks away and he's not really on the show a lot, you know, and he'll walk away more next year, probably. Although I think that guy's kind of a drama queen. I can understand why he wouldn't want to be on the show. I mean, there's a lot of people on these shows that are like, I'm not going to do it. Mary's husband doesn't do it. And there are a lot of husbands who refuse to film. Giselle never shows anything. I mean, what the hell?
I think that being like a freshman housewife, you have to show your relationship. Like Mary, the producers wanted Mary back, so she had leverage enough to say, okay, but Robert Sr. doesn't want to be on the show. And they're like, okay, fine. I think that for when I agree that like if you don't like if your partner wants to be on a reality show but you don't want to be on either, I think what you do is you support them in being on the show, and then you just try to I think you try to support, and then you just kind of, I think there's a way to have your partner be on the show without you getting totally dragged into the mess.
But
if your partner is the type that's going to not protect you while they're on the show, then maybe that relationship isn't good in the first place. Because I think a lot of times the guys who don't want to come on to reality TV, they usually don't want to because they're insecure. They're scared to go on reality TV because they know on some level they're kind of like they're doing things wrong in their relationship, and they know they're going to get called out, which is why you see this happening with Juan Dixon, why you see this happening with this guy, why you saw this happening with Stassi's ex-boyfriend, why you saw this one, maybe we didn't see enough of this, but Cameron from Southern Charm, her boyfriend, like, you know, because what happens is these people then eventually do go on the show, and then we see how that they kind of suck, and we tear them apart, and they say, see, this is why I didn't want to go on the show. But it's like, no, the reason is not see because you didn't want to go on the show because we're going to tear you apart. You didn't want to go on the show because you had to be confronted with the fact that you have personality defects.
Right, but even the nice guys get ripped apart. Even the nice partners get ripped apart on the show. It's just the nature of being on the Housewives show. Like, no one gets out of there unscathed, right? So I think John Barlow, you know, gets people ragging on him constantly. People are always like, talking about what a piece of shit and a wuss he is and a cuck and this and that and this and that over and over again. No one makes it out of these shows unscathed. Look, I just think it's smart as a partner. And this isn't even talking about Greg specifically, because Greg does come off as a total asshole. But I guess what's starting to kind of bug me about Kierna is I feel like what he's saying is like, you do this show and I'll support you doing on the show, but don't drag me into it as far as making me look stupid. And every single time he's on camera, she's like, we need to talk about our relationship because you're not treating me right. And you just see his face, and you see it in this episode where he's like, really? Like, I'm doing another scene with you, and now you're going to talk about what a piece of shit I am again? Now, does Greg seem like a piece of shit? Sure does. I don't like his whole men do this and women do that. I don't like it. I think that she should leave him and stop being so desperate and just clinging on to him because he's a man who wants to get married. I think that's a huge thing that we see. I see it in my friendships all the time with men and women who are just like, this is it. This is my last chance. So I'm going to make it work. And it never works, you know, when that's your idea going in. But I do think that he's kind of an asshole from what we've seen on the show. So I'm not even going to argue in his favor. Like, he's not an asshole. I'm just saying, I don't think it's that bad that he doesn't want to get on the show. And every single time he's on camera, she's like, now we have to talk about what an asshole you are. And I'm just like, well, at this point, I'm just like, come on, man. This is kind of unfair. It's starting to seem a little unfair to me.
I don't know. I kind of feel like the insecurity that drives him to be an asshole is the same insecurity that makes him get frustrated that he has to talk about it on TV. And I think that, like, if he felt fine with who he was and what he did, then he would be okay to have these stupid scenes, you know, in these random restaurants with, like, you know, these goopy shrimp tempura sitting in front of him.
Well, he definitely should be better at faking it and be able to just be like, okay, you want to talk about our relationship? I love you, honey. And, you know, I support you no matter what. Like, he should at least be able to fake it, but he can't fake it. I mean, he's just like,
well, that's the thing.
Get me out of the car, you know.
He may not want to put this all out there or whatever, but it's also the easiest thing to do is that when she says things like that, he could say, gosh, I'm really sorry I wasn't attending to your needs, and I, you know, all this time I thought I was, and I didn't even realize I was dismissing you, but apparently I was.
Yeah.
Things like that. And that way you can sort of like nip it in the bud. You can look like you're growing and happy and being like a nice person. And then people like us are not sitting here talking about why you're a dick.
So, yeah, that's what, like, I'm saying. He should be faking it, but he's just like, he's just getting too frustrated. He can't do it. I don't know. But Kierna's whole thing, like, her whole storyline is, I'm with a man who doesn't want me to be on the show, which is weird because it's meta in the first place. But it's like literally every scene is you talking about how he doesn't want you to be on the show. Yet here you are on the show, and the only thing you have to talk about is him not wanting to be on the show. Like, do something else. Like, Jesus Christ, your prop doesn't work, you know?
Well, now that being said, Like, I agree. It's like, if she had something more interesting going on in her life, we wouldn't have to constantly be talking about Greg. And, I mean, whatever. I think we both agree she should leave him. She should do better. And I do think that she deserves to be with someone who wants to support her being on the show. And that's just, you know, like, that's what she wants in her life. That is what her career choice is. Because ultimately, you know, it also is like... this has been something that's been going on before reality TV. This is like people who are in a relationship together and someone has a job and they have to go to work functions and they have to go do things and they have to drag their spouse along. And I think a good spouse and good partner bucks up and goes along with it and puts on a smile and just does it.
Right, but the difference is that this one affects the partner so badly. This one affects the partner and makes them look stupid on national TV and puts them up in a place that they're going to be knocked down and criticized by the public. So it's not really the same as like, I'm so sick of being a lawyer's wife and having to go to lawyer functions. You know what I mean? They're boring. It's like a little more than that. I don't know. I just feel like that guy's an asshole and she should leave him, despite the fact that he doesn't want to do the show, because I think she's just settling. And settling never works. Well, settling does work sometimes.
She's definitely settling.
Yeah, but she's settling, and I want better for her. But also, I feel like it's kind of unfair to be dragging your partner if they don't want to. If he doesn't want to, that's his choice. Leave him alone at this point. Just, my God. Well, and also, leave me alone. Like, I'm sick of watching him. I don't like him. He's not likable. He's an asshole. Stop putting him up for me to watch. Get better men, you know? Like, do something else. Yeah, get better casting in your own
deeply
life.
Deeply uninteresting. Yeah.
For my sake.
All right. Well, I think we've basically come to a common ground, which is that she needs to move on from this guy.
Regardless. Yes, she needs to dump this guy. He's not worth her time.
Well, yeah. Because he has a right to not want to go on reality TV, but he also should then, like, they should realize they want different things out of life.
Yeah, yeah. Got it. Just cut the cord. Cut the cord. Cut it.
Yeah.
Got it.
So that being said, so Kierna has issues with Greg. I don't remember where we are.
Who cares? So this is the talk. They're like, oh my God, blah, blah, blah. Your boyfriend doesn't want to be on the show. Okay. So then Giselle's like, look, you know, if he's not capable of supporting you, he's never going to support you. And that's true. And Karen's like, you know, Greg makes her feel small and that's a red flag. And Giselle's like, if you were my daughter, I would be telling you everything that you are. Don't let a man ever take that from you ever. And also, ring cams are cameras and I can see when you are sneaking men in. So please stop.
Yeah. Yes, they're basically like, you know, they're like, stay on the show. So then now we see Mia and she's driving and she's on her way to pick up Ink from the airport and she's like,
hi, Mercedes, can you call my Ink?
And then it calls her printer. I was like, that's so awkward. She's like, she's like,
hi, baby, I can't wait to see you. Okay, I'm rolling up in the airport.
So he gets in the car and everything. They're wearing matching clothes and they're just like talking about the kids. Jeremiah wants to see Ink. Ink wants to take him to a game, all that.
And this is another example of one partner just wanting to come fake like a good happy relationship, which is Mia, and the other partner like messing up their plans, which I kind of was cracking up at this. So she's like, oh my God, it's Ink. We basically have another family. We're going to go to a soccer game together. And then Ink's like, so, you know, I don't know if Gordon mentioned it, but he did text me about the paternity test and mentioned that you had the results a couple of weeks ago and he hoped you shared those results with me. So I don't believe he took a test. And she's like, Because he's thinking, how could you take a paternity test, find out I'm not the father, and not tell me? It's been 2 weeks, so he must be lying, right? And she's like, well, I do have results that say 99.9%. But, you know, at the same time, why is it that you do it behind everybody's back? I mean, that was uncool. Excuse me, yeah, you're the one who's been having an affair for years and thought you got impregnated by another man. I don't think that you have any ground to stand on as far as the doing it behind my back comment, ma'am.
Yeah. She goes,
well, I don't think Gordon likes the fact that Ink wants to get a paternity test. So I think for him, he's saying, this is my kid. Let it rest.
Yeah, we get it.
So
we know why he did it. I love that Mia thinks she has to explain to us why Gordon would get a paternity test.
So Ink is like, you know, or maybe I'll just call Gordon. And so she goes, okay, so you want to call him? He goes, well, call Gordon. Why does Gordon have to be the priority every time? She's like, well, you literally just said you were going to call Gordon. Oh, I was. It's like, yeah, well, okay, all right, you got me there. Well, I said before I called him, I'm not feeling that at all. I mean, for the past year, you all have been operating without boundaries. That's taking a toll on us to a certain degree. So she's like,
well, Ink does wish that I was able to cut ties with Gordon completely, but I mean, he's my kid's father, and anytime you're dealing with exes and, you know, you're trying new relationships, it's always gonna be a little bit of a tangled web of mania.
And he's like, yeah, I just want boundaries. And she's like, well, I'm exhausted. I don't want to do it anymore. But you just said that you're not going to create any boundaries with Gordon, too. So they're also fucked. This relationship's also fucked. So then we go to Stacy at the Humane Rescue Alliance. And she's going to have a Strut for Strays event coming up. And basically,
Original name of Vanderpump Rules, by the way.
What?
It's the original name of Vanderpump Rules, Strut for Strays. Yeah.
Strut for Strays. So she's like, I've loved animals since I've been on this planet. So I'm an ambassador to the Humane Rescue Alliance. So basically, they're going to have a fashion show partnered with a dog walk kind of thing, like a dog walking fashion show, which I know is a thing, but we also know from the previews at the very beginning of the season that this is how dog poop ends up everywhere. And this is how this season ends, with people slipping on dog poop.
Yeah, this is going to be a disaster. This is, I mean, not nearly as messy as Bronwyn's house, but, you know, yeah, a true shit show. So, so they're going to be walking the dogs down the runway. It's always funny when Potomac puts on a fashion show in the first place, but then now they're going to add dogs to it. So it's going to be a disaster.
Vivian's got her work cut out for her, that's for sure. She's like, you know, I've come out with lots of dresses. I just had to cut holes where the poop hole is. So, killing it.
So Stacy's like, you know, Ashley and I have come a very long way. And we see flashbacks of her saying, you put your bunion on my counter. I don't think they've come that far of a way. I think they were like fine. And now they're just like a little bit better. It wasn't like they were, you know, feuding in the beginning of the season.
Yeah. But I mean, basically, Stacy started out at the season as the season. Stacy started out the season as a character who would call people out for having bunions on a counter, and then she changed her character. And so I think that that's pretty much as far as Stacy went.
I think Stacy learned that putting things on counters in Ashley's household is a sign of love and endearment. So
yeah, that's her love language.
Yeah. So she's like, well, I'm happy to share this moment with Ashley because I really do consider Ashley a true friend. And maybe Ashley can pick out a puppy, the puppy that she's going to walk with. So now they're like, you know, there's dogs and they're playing with them and everything. And so now Stacy and Ashley are, now that they've played around with dogs, now they're going to get into gossiping and stuff like that.
So now they're talking about the lawyer's office. And Stacy's like, I'm feeling so good about my mediation. I'm going to get nothing for the rest of my life. And my daughter will probably be cut off the second that my husband gets a new wife. So I'm feeling great. And Ashley's like, but, you know, this is like, I was in my lawyer's office and it's a lot different for me because, you know, we're at a stalemate because he wants a confidentiality clause. But, you know, he's not getting it, basically. And then we see Ashley's attorney, who's like, do you want to really get a divorce or don't you? Because you're wasting my time. Let's divorce this fucker. Let's do it. And Ashley's like, okay.
Yeah. And she's talking about how they're going to make a claim, and maybe it'll be a vanilla claim. Maybe it'll be a spicy claim. And, you know, then she's
a vanilla claim would be a Michael claim because he's very vanilla. And a spicy claim would not be Beavis. He would also be a vanilla claim. So she's saying basically a vanilla claim is when you're nice with each other. And a spicy claim is her like, well, you cheated and you did this. And so basically she's kind of threatening him. Like, do you want to have a nice divorce or do you want me to out all your craziness?
Yeah. And, you know, Stacey's saying she's just looking forward to being able to move on with her life and everything. And Ashley's asking her about that child support because she's like, well, I've waived child support. And in terms of Arabella, he takes care of everything that she needs. So why would I need child support? Clearly, he will. Fathers are known for always supporting their children, especially when they get new families. So I'm really not too concerned.
Yeah, and that's what Ashley says. She's like, oh, well, what if he gets remarried? She's like, well, even if he gets remarried, Arabella is still our daughter. And she's like, she's like, but this is right for me, Ashley. Trust me. Dun, dun, dun. Cut to next year. And she's like, can somebody go donate to Arabella's Amazon wish list for her school supplies?
Also, like, this just gives him so much leverage too. He can now say things like, well, if you like, I'm not going to pay for Arabella's trip or school or this or that unless you do this. Like, I want you to move out of that house. I don't want to pay for your house anymore, so you need to go move somewhere else. And if you don't, then I'm not going to pay do X, Y, and Z for Arabella. Like, he can totally do that now.
And Ashley is like, yeah, this girl's unemployed and she's dating a guy who's an under 5 actor. So she needs to get her money, you know? Yeah. So then she's like, I promise, I know him. I know Arabella. I know him and I know Arabella. And our situation is good. So Ashley's like, danger, danger.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Welcome to The Offensive Line. You guys, on this podcast, we're going to make some picks, talk some and hopefully make you some money in the process. I'm your host, Annie Hagar. So here's how this show's going to work, okay? We're going to run through the weekly slate of NFL and college football matchups, breaking them down into very serious categories like no offense. No offense, Travis Kelce, but you got to step up your game if Pat Mahomes is saying the Chiefs need to have more fun this year. We're also handing out a series of awards and making picks for the top storylines surrounding the world of football. Awards like the He May Have a Point Award for the wide receiver that's most justifiably bitter. Is it Brandon Ayuk, T. Higgins, or Devontae Adams? Plus, on Thursdays, we're doing an exclusive bonus episode on Wondery Plus, where I share my fantasy football picks ahead of Thursday Night Football and the weekend's matchups. Your fantasy league is as good as locked in. Follow The Offensive Line on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can access bonus episodes and listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
We go on a lunch date with Kiana and Greg, and Greg starts off like, well, I'm glad it's not too hot. She's like, yeah, I'm glad we can reset. And he's like, mm-hmm. And she goes, you know what I mean? He's like, mm-hmm. She's like, because it's been so overwhelming for us. And he's like, mm-hmm. And she's like, we need to talk about our relationship. And he's like, oh, fuck. Just, I'm surprised he didn't just stop the car and get out and just start walking on the shoulder of the road.
He was literally just doing the face of harumph. He was like, harumph. He was like rolling his eyes, like opening his mouth, like he's about to say something, stopping. He's like, harumph. He was so visibly furious.
He had harumph face. So she's like, don't get upset with me, but we did have an argument, right? And he's like, why do we have to talk about this on camera? And she's like, okay, so you don't want to talk about it? You know he doesn't want to talk about it. So he's just like ignoring her and getting more harumphy. And she's like, okay, then I guess you don't. Fine. And he's like, Jesus Christ.
I think that like right now I'm probably like not being as like compromising as I normally am because I spoke to Giselle and Karen and I realized that I'm on the right side. So I'm just going to now grill him on TV.
So they get to a restaurant called Doc's, no relationship to Rails. And Greg has a hard time opening it. I think Greg pushes instead of pulls or something like that. So embarrassing for him after all that harumphing. So they sit down and he's wearing flip-flops. Okay, so here's Kierna, do we have to even continue your storyline? The flip flops at the nice restaurant.
Yeah.
What more? Why was this not Exhibit A? Yeah. You don't have to tell us about arguments. Exhibit A. Exhibit A, we see you in your confessionals. We see the look and the attention that you put into the effort and the attention you put into your look. We see that you are, your business is aesthetics. It's literally you have a spa and you do like all the stuff. And you have this guy walking into Docs wearing flip-flops with his slacks.
Who doesn't know how to open menus, you know? Well, it's just like so much wrong. Or doors. Yeah. There's just so much wrong with this. I mean, Kierna basically has a dream to be in a potato sack race, but there's no one to be in the potato sack with her. She can only enter as a two-person thing. Are those potato sack races where you both put one leg in the potato sack?
I think you're just individually in your own potato sack, and then the three-legged race is
when. Well, what's the one where they have your legs like a potato tied together? Sack.
That's the three-legged race.
Oh, okay. And she wants to be in the three-legged potato sack race. Okay, and she doesn't have anybody to be in the three-legged potato sack race.
They're having a disastrously relationship. I just thought of something else, Ronnie. Though. A reason why Greg should stop complaining about the TV thing is because he was all too happy to promote his business on the show and force Kierna to wear a polo shirt for an entire episode.
That's
so
true.
If he wants to exploit it, he's got to do the work as well.
Okay. I'll go with that.
I just remembered because the flip-flops made me think of the polo shirt. And then I was like, the polo shirt. And I was like, aha, he was trying to take advantage of being on TV.
Well, that's true. Yeah. I mean, the millions he must make from all that social work.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway,
the most lucrative business there is, social work.
So he's like, hey, remember when we met down here 2 years ago, kind of like in the Harbor East area? She's like, we came a long way. And he's like, yeah. And I feel like we still kind of argue about the same things when maybe it's kind of like personality based. I mean, because you're a woman, I'm a man. So we're also going to see things differently through different lenses, whether we want to or not.
And she's like, well, to me, that's a struggle. And he's like, yeah, and that's noticeable. But, you know, sometimes you should just go with the flow. Just calm the fuck down. That's all I'm saying. Oh, my God. Okay, this is why Greg doesn't want to talk on TV. Because someone told him, Greg, don't talk. You sound like an asshole every time you open your mouth. You were an asshole. Don't talk. And so he's just like, I'm not going to talk. Because look at what he says the minute he opens his mouth. Literally everything he says is wrong. This guy's a train wreck. So he's like, just, you know what every woman wants to hear? Calm down.
Yeah, exactly. She's like, well, I think for me, it's a matter of still feeling like, okay, I'm my own woman here because I feel like sometimes I shrink when I move here instead of like being my full self when I'm around you. And he goes, well, that's how you feel. And she's like, but like, I also feel like when we have these conversations, it starts to feel like either it's your way or my way. And I don't want it to be that way. I want it to be something where we're on the same page. And the focus should always be that we try to make it work.
So he's like, yeah, because why wouldn't we try to make it work? Otherwise, it's a waste of time, right? So then she goes on and on about how she's disconnected. Kierna, you're disconnected because you're with someone you shouldn't be with. You're with a man in flip-flops. You're in a ball gown. Okay. And yeah, so she's like, you know, joining the show is important to me. Then either join it single or get somebody else to do it. You can't join couple skate as yourself. Okay. You need a partner who is also in a glittery outfit and tights. That's it.
And another thing, this goes to Bravo now. Bravo, if you're casting people who can only be interesting in the context of their boyfriend, then you're casting the wrong people because Kierna should be able to stand on her own and be interesting on her own. So the fact that like Bravo is putting pressure on her to loop in this guy, you know, like, and he really doesn't want to do it. Find something more interesting about Kierna to shoot instead. Like and something, you know, going on at that spa.
One of Bravo's favorite storylines is someone who's happily married and has everything, and then it tanks. So they need her to like be happy for one season probably, and then it can tank and they'll be fine, you know?
Yeah. But I mean, look, they need to show a fully fleshed out life. If you're going to be a real housewife, we have to see a fully fleshed out life. But we don't have to see endless scenes of their relationship. It's fine. We've seen lots of relationship stuff. Those are arguably the least interesting scenes that we see. So, like, you know, I mean, look, we all suspect the reason why Kierna is on the show was because Bravo didn't want her to sue them. And so Bravo's like, hey, be a housewife. And I don't think we all wanted to believe that. But I think it's starting to feel, it just feels more and more like that's the case. Because it's kind of like, what's going on? There's nothing happening over here in this corner of the show.
So then
we've been talking about the whole episode.
Because it's just so frustrating, you know? So then it's frustrating, actually. So then she says, you know, I feel like I have valid feelings and they're being dismissed. And he goes, I don't dismiss your feelings. She's like, but that's how I feel. He goes, but I don't dismiss your feelings. Okay. So let's order. I do not dismiss your feelings. Seriously. I'm like, that's kind of what you just did three times in a row.
You're literally doing it. He's like, I never dismiss them.
He's like, your feelings are school. Dismissed. Yeah. He's like, your feelings are school and it's 3:30 and the bell is just rung. So you're dismissing them? I didn't say that. It's time for your feelings to go.
Do you want something to drink? I think I like some Swiss Miss. No, more like dismiss. She'll have some dismiss.
So then we go to Vivian's store. Anya by Vivian. I never realized it was called Confusing Anya branding. By Vivian. Who's Anya?
I don't know, but what if Anya has a store that's called Vivian by Anya?
What if it was Enya by Vivian? And every time he went in to get a store, Vivian's just like, I don't know why you're signed. I'm so excited. Everyone's going to come in and look fabulous. And Vivian's like, well, here's what I like to do for fashion shows. I like to coordinate colors.
Oh, what an innovation.
That's crazy.
And Stacey goes, I love that. You know what's good? You know what I love about that? You know, here's if I were to ever have a fashion show, I would not only would I coordinate colors, I think I would actually, I think I would sew new clothes for it, which I think is just kind of like a fun thing to do, you know?
This is a store fashion show. This is like a posh fashion show. They ain't gonna sew shit for that. My mom used to do those in the junior league, and we used to have to go see my mom do fashion shows. She still does them. I think she just did one last year for like Dillard's, and all the ladies in the country club just wear a dress, and then they walk down the aisle, and everyone's like, "Yes!" I don't think anybody actually buys the dresses or anything, but you know, that's cute.
Yeah, that's fun. So Stacy says, I am so excited about this event, and I can't think of a better designer to highlight other than Vivian. I had to have Arabella involved in this invitation. And then we see Stacy and Arabella did like a little video where Stacy's like, I want to invite you to participate in this year's Strut for Strays. Don't worry about what you're wearing. Vivian has you covered. We can't wait to see you and do this together. Your line, Arabella.
You're going to look great, baby.
TJ jumps in. You're going to love the way you look. Okay, TJ, no men's warehouse here. Here's not your invitation.
TJ jumps in and he's like, we need 8 ounces of blood stat.
This isn't ER, TJ.
Okay. Objection.
This isn't
Law and Order, TJ.
He's like, oh, I'm sorry. I thought the event was called Strut for Extras, not Strut for Strays.
So then she's like, and then there's Karen. So we get Karen's text, and it's like, congratulations. I regret that I cannot attend your stupid fashion show, but due with your comments and your actions at Ashley's last event, we can discuss it later. But at my dear place, my dear friend's place of business, it's not the appropriate setting to discuss it. You can count on my supporting your charity. I will be there with belts on, but I will not be in your fashion show.
So she says, I regret that I cannot attend your event, but I will be there with bells on. So Stacy said,
I'm not really sure what I knew that means.
What does this even mean? The Grand Dame needs rest, honey. And she says, I just want to make sure everybody feels beautiful while we walk with these dogs that are going to shit on your beautiful, beautiful gowns.
So then Wendy and Ashley come, and they're talking about how Ashley had a dick the other day, and they loved it. And so she's like, well, do you want to know who your date is for the evening? And then she shows them pictures of dogs and stuff. And now they start shit talking Mia and Karen. Basically, Stacy's like, well, we only have 10 people on the show, but Karen sent a message and said, well, I support your charity, I cannot walk in the event, so I don't think she's participating in the show.
And Ash is like, well, clearly something you said really hit a nerve. And Wendy's like, or something you may have did or didn't do. Because I think the question that you have to ask yourself is, do you feel like when she needs you, you support her? And Stacey's like, well, that can't be what this argument is about. And then we see a flashback to, you know, how Mia was, how Stacey basically was supporting Mia in that moment because she felt like what Karen was saying should have been brought up privately.
Oh, yes. And so she's like, surely that can't be it. And Wendy's like, you went to coddle Mia. Dun, 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 dun. So she's like, yeah, well, then I understand why Wendy doesn't, or I understand why Karen doesn't want to be a part of it. And she's like, but it's not in my nature to stand there and watch someone be berated.
I received that. So, and she's like, I think berated is a strong term. So then Giselle arrives. She's like, hello, hello. And Wendy's like, okay, hold on. Now, one second. Because you just said something. Mia said some very disparaging comments about Karen. And your first thing out of your mouth, Stacey, should have been like, don't say those things about Karen. Don't say those things about my friend.
And she's like, I do stand up for Karen. Like the time I said, there's no way she could be drunk. There's no way she could be drunk driving. There's no way. And they're like, well, but you didn't stand up for her when Mia said it at the event. Dun, dun, dun. So whatever. And Giselle's like, well, Karen, we just got a text. She said, I'm excited. I'm looking forward to seeing all of you tomorrow at Vivian's store. And Karen's like, what are we doing? Oh, so this is when the text for the text invite went out. So they were all at lunch. And Giselle's like, yeah, we got a text saying that we're going to be at Vivian's store. And Karen's like, really? What are we doing at Vivian's store? My friend Vivian. You know, the store called Vivian by Karen.
And Giselle's like, well, we're going to select your gown. Nah. And so Giselle's like, yeah, we know Vivian. We're back in present because we know Vivian because of Karen, Stacey, implying that Stacey kind of like friend hopped to get to Vivian.
Yeah. And she's like, yeah. And we all have I know you have a relationship, but Vivian has been introduced to this group through Karen. And if you didn't have the respect enough to say, you know what? Hey, Karen, you know what? I'm going to use Vivian. And she's like, so I have to tell Karen that I'm going to do a fashion show with Vivian? And she's like, yes. And the fact today that we're at Vivian's store and you didn't say, hey, Karen, just FYI, I'm inviting the girls to her shop. Bah.
But Stacey's like, well, wasn't that what the message said? And like, no. And so Stacey's like, well, okay, I disagree because Vivian is also my friend. And I've known Vivian longer than I've known Karen. So what am I supposed to be saying? May I work with my friend? And she's kind of right on that one. You know,
she's right. Karen's being ridiculous. She doesn't need your permission to do a fashion show with Vivian. Vivian's a friend of on this show. She's a cast member. So if Vivian wants to promote her stuff, she's going to do an event with somebody who wants to promote her stuff. That's ridiculous.
And if Karen wants to have a claim on Vivian, maybe she should have worked harder to have Vivian come to Panama instead of Jacqueline. So Giselle is like, well, you should have said, hey, Karen, just FYI, I've been working with Vivian on this, blah. And then it could have been over. Like, what's wrong with that? And it's like, even Wendy is like, yeah, no, I don't think you need permission. So, and now she's saying, no, probably would have been good to give like a little bit of a heads up. But Stacey says, Giselle, Mia has called Karen a drunk, a cheater. Kay said that she was on Ozempic, and I didn't call her and to tell her I was having an event with my friend, so she's dropping out. It seems like a little imbalanced.
Well, that's not why, Well, but that's kind of what you just implied, right? So she's like, oh, it's also because I didn't speak up? And she's like, well, I don't like the fact that you rolled any of this out. And because you didn't say to any of us, would you like to be on the runway holding an animal? You did not do that. What if I'm traumatized by animals? That's her new argument.
Stacey's like, but I don't understand how I'm having like a beautiful event and what I think is a great moment for us to come together and to support a really wonderful organization for fur babies in DC.
Well, I was actually shocked. I didn't think that you were even into charities. Don't, don't, don't. How dare you? How dare you, ma'am? Insinuating that I'm not into charities. Charities are my hobbies. They're my life. I go to bed. I don't even masturbate to porn. I think of charities.
Even Wendy laughs, like, what? Stacey goes, Giselle, why would I not be into charities? Listen to my voice. This is charity voice. And Giselle's like,
how could you say I'm not into charities? I date TJ.
So Giselle's like, well, you didn't donate to mine because you came late. And she goes, well, you threw me out. That's why I didn't donate.
I love that Giselle throws everybody out of her charity and then gets mad when they didn't donate. And by the way, I'm not donating to your charity either, because it's not just for brain trauma. It's for GNA. And how much money of that goes to GNA, your stupid business that does nothing? And then how much of it does actual go to a charity? You're not getting my money either, lady. Come to my Spanx and Alzheimer's charity. No, that's not how it works.
Stacey has not donated a dime. I don't know how you even sleep at night, Stacey. I don't. And so Stacey's like, okay, we're just going to pick out dresses. And so Giselle's like, well, I'm not going to be in the fashion show either. Only because I'm confused by it. You don't know whether or not I'm allergic to dogs. You don't know whether or not I have PTSD because a dog bit me. You don't know if I've listened to Who Let the Dogs Out one too many times and now I'm totally triggered by the animal.
You don't know if I've ever had trauma at your Wiener Schnitzel. How dare you? And Stacey's like,
you don't know how many elevators I've been in where someone has asked going down and I've said no, going up.
Going down. It's Sasha. So Stacey's like, but do you have any of those traumas? And she goes, a bit. She's like, so wait, you got bit by a dog? And she goes, yes, when I was little. This is Giselle's best moment of the season, by the way. This shit was hilarious.
That's why I was like, this is so funny. I was like, yes, the show's back. Giselle's like, yeah, dogs are not my thing. And so the producer's like, what was your traumatic experience? She goes, I got bit by a dog. And that may or may not be a lie.
And Stacey's like, well, I just assumed we were all like-minded. We are not. She's like, well, clearly. Well, thank you for supporting. You don't have to walk the show. So she knows that she's in trouble because she stood up for Mia. And she's like, Karen seems to want Karen wants to only be friends with people who blindly follow her no matter what. And then we see a clip to Karen 2 months ago saying, who's my real friend? I want to see who real soldiers are for Karen Huga, because I certainly don't want any fake bitches around me.
So Stacey says, and if that's what Karen is looking for, then maybe I'm not the right friend. And so now we go over to Wendy and Eddie's, and Wendy is hanging out in the deck, and she's like, it's been a busy day. I've been in meetings all day. You know, season 2 of Dr. Wendy's show is coming. Oh, so
and fucking Eddie. Okay, look, I get that we come on this show to, like, get our brands out there, and I get that everybody on the show will wear a baseball cap with their brand, but Eddie is ridiculous. Like, Eddie's he's, like, wearing, like, a face mask. It's like he's wearing just a bag over his face that says Happy Eddie. He's literally wearing a shirt that's like, got Eddie's. What does it say?
Mm-hmm.
He's using the Got Milk slogan. Can we just stop? Well, that's so bad. You know you're desperate when you resort to the Got Milk slogan from 20 years ago. Come on, man.
Yeah. So his big news is, by the way, I got big news, and you know, I just got off the phone with the White House, and you're going to film an episode of the Dr. Wendy show there. And it's going to be, you know, and so they're like, oh my God, this is amazing. And he's like, yeah, you're going to do your big one when's in? Yay, you know you want to. So she's going to be interviewing Karine Jean-Pierre. So when it's a big get.
That's going to be an awkward interview. She's going to be like, so when did you become press secretary? When did you become press secretary? What's it like working in the White House? What is it like working in the White House? You're interviewing a questioner. Good luck.
So she's just saying it's just such an honor because she's the first Black woman to hold the position of the White House press secretary, and she's the mouthpiece of the President of the United States. And she says, when I think of Black girl magic, I think of her. And so Eddie's just like really proud of her, and they're excited to go to the White House and everything. So then we cut over to Mia and Stacey having lunch, and they're talking about significantly less lofty things like going to the White House. They're just going to gossip about Karen, as is their right.
Yeah. So Stacy's like, so what's happening, girlfriend? And Mia's like, oh, you know, mania. So, you know, there's good days, there's bad days. Some days Gordon has mania, others he has mania. And so that's basically what's happening. So what happened this past weekend, you know? I mean, I'm upset with Gordon for sharing our personal family matters with someone who's an acquaintance. I mean, you know, it's just part of his condition. He can't help it. You know, mania, you order a steak, you talk about the paternity of my child, you know how it goes.
I don't like when Gordon shares our personal family matters. I mean, it took me a long time to buy that DVD box set, and I don't want to lose it. So, Mia said...
Well, not to mention that you were the one who said on national TV that that kid isn't Gordon, but you don't like him sharing the real paternity. I'm so sorry, Mia. It must be really difficult for you. The fuck? This lady's fucking crazy. What is wrong with this person?
So Mia's like, you know, I know what Gordon's capable of, and my friend should try to seek to understand what I'm dealing with here. The thing is about what I'm furious with someone is the thing about it is that I'm furious with someone who I consider my friend and like who, you know, used it to villainize me. And Stacey's like, well, can't Karen just be a supportive friend? And she's like, no, she doesn't know how to be.
Well, it's funny that you say that, because when I met with Karen before, I was introduced to this group. Karen specifically told me things about you and how I should avoid you. So, look, Stacy may act like a dummy, but we know that that's a character because we saw her original character the first 3 weeks on this show. So we know that she's changed her character, and now she's going to show you who you're really dealing with. She's like, okay, you want to fuck with me? I'll sick Mia on you and literally everybody else and Wendy. She's like, I'm going to sick Mia and Wendy on you. So she starts with Mia, and she's like, she said I should avoid you because you're not Potomac. And she's like, well, is it Potomac to be a drunk driving, swinging on bar stools? Is it Potomac to crash your car into trees and get repeated DUIs? Because I haven't been accused of that. So what exactly is Potomac? Dun, dun, dun.
Well, that's the warning she gave me and Arabella. She also told me that I shouldn't be friends with Wendy. She said that Wendy is completely self-absorbed and that I should never trust her and she's only out for herself. And Mia's like, oh my God, does Wendy know these things? And then it cuts back to Wendy talking about this White House visit. And Wendy's saying that she wants to share the moment with her girlfriends. So her first on her list is Karen, because it'll be a full circle moment because, you know, Karen invited Wendy to Surrey County when Karen got the key to the county, et cetera, or the city, or I don't know, do counties have keys? Do counties need keys? But either way, she also talks about how Karen's family were slaves who bought the farm back and then, you know, prospered as a result of it. And so since the White House was built by slaves, this is like a good callback to that. And it's kind of like, look at what the slaves did, actually. And so she's really seeing this like really beautiful moment when we are finding out that Karen has nothing but bad things to say about Wendy.
So then we go back to lunch and Mia's like, does Wendy know? And she's like, no. And Wendy stands up for Karen over and over again. And then we see flashbacks of Wendy being Team Karen all season, which she has been. And, you know, granted, Wendy's just kind of out of allies. When Karen invited Wendy to Surrey County, that was kind of a shocker. But I think they were like, all right, Karen, you need to invite at least three people, or people weren't talking to her or something. I don't know. It's kind of an alliance friendship, right? Wendy and Karen. I guess that's what I'm getting at. But I think Wendy is really making an effort, and Karen is just still shit-talking her behind her back.
Yeah. And so Mia ends it by saying, I will tell you the truth doesn't expire. Okay, Karen Huger, everything that's done in the dark eventually comes out to light.
So that is what's going to lead us into the season finale next week. Excited for that. Fun episode. Nice return to form. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Don't forget to get your tickets to see the Crappies on the internet by going to watchacrappies.com. Join us on Patreon. We're talking traders this week on the bonus episode, every week, really. And we will catch you on the next episode. Goodbye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way. It's always automatic with Ashley Auto.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Catherine DiBernardo has our hardo.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt. Dana C. Dana Do.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Etchels!
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas. Jamie, she has no less namey. You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Hava Nagila Weber. Know your worth with Jason Kurth.
We could all learn from Jennifer Kearns.
She's our kind of mess. It's Jennifer Messer.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Knock, knock, knocking on Katie Manock's door.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson. Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
Bringing the funk, it's Leslie Plunkett.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D. Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
We love her on the rocks, it's Melissa Cox.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson. Tastier than Flanderson, it's Rachel Manderson.
Have a heck of a time with Rebecca.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
She's got a leg up, it's Beth Ani.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva. Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall. We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony, Junie. My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo. We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
The incredible edible Matthew Sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Put on a kettle for Rebecca Weddle.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke. Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.